The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor of this program, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. Okay, we're starting off a new Reader's Digest today. I know it's an odd month to be doing it, time to month to be doing it, but that's just the way things work out. Dear readers, letter from the editor. 10 things you did not ask me about my dog, but that I'll tell you anyway. 1. Her name is Steph Curry. Long story, don't ask. Well, now that you've asked, my teenage son fell in love with her as a puppy in a classmate's litter. We didn't need a dog, but he said, I promise I'll take care of her. And his favorite athlete's name is, you get it. 3. How hard are you laughing at us right now? Our 16-year-old told us, I promise. And so we said yes. 4. When she was a few months old, she ate a squirrel. Cost in vet bills to extract said squirrel from her stomach, $3,000. 5. The squirrel was a toy squirrel, although pretty much life-size when seen in outline or on x-ray. 6. After that, plus the infamous Turkish carpet incident, I decided that was it. We needed to find her another home. 7. Of course, by then, I would rather have gone into bankruptcy than let her go. What can you say about a dog this beautiful? And there's a picture of a golden retriever sitting there, a cute dog. This beautiful, who runs through the forest like a golden brown leopard, stretches out in bed with us exactly like our former teenager used to, and snaps her epic tongue at you in love. 8. Because I love my good girl, I'm entering her in our pet photo contest, which you can see in this issue. 9. It has come to my attention that as an employee, I'm not allowed to enter the contest. 10. If I had been allowed, guess who would have won? Pretty simple, isn't it? Letters. Comments on the May issue. 50 Ways to Survive the Hospital. I'm a registered nurse and found your tips well-defined. However, I take issue with your how-to-say-it recommendations, such as I'm sorry, but I'm really nervous about infections. I know you are very careful, but would you mind washing your hands for me? Why should the patients be sorry? Just say, I'm really nervous about infections. Please wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, or put on gloves. One can make straightforward requests without being confrontational. Sue Ellen Collins, Montrose, Indiana. Everyday Heroes. Finally, a hero story that wasn't gory. Reading Design for Living about how Nancy Ballard got some fellow artists to brighten up the chemotherapy rooms in her San Francisco doctor's office. I was thrilled to see her idea of making such a difference for people. I have been pestering one of my physicians to have holes patched and walls repainted in her exam room. I always leave feeling disappointed that the state of her office is so far beneath the caliber of care I receive from her. So much can change with a little effort and a few cans of paint. The bell still tolls. I gasped in surprise as I read the name McSavany on the short list of men from the small town of London, Ohio, who died during the war. Part of his name was even in the illustration. John McSavany was my uncle. He was declared MIA in World War II and was finally shipped home in 1946. Wonderful, wonderful story for us to add to our genealogical journey. Carol E. Cherry. Your true stories. After reading Enjoying the Quiet, Karen Otanaga's stories of her husband's bucket list parasailing experience, and is surprised at how quiet it was. I can relate that it's not just because he wasn't wearing his hearing aids. I took an opportunity to go up in a hot air balloon and was equally amazed at the absence of noise. The higher we went, the quieter it became. We mortals don't realize how much noise surrounds us every day on terra firma until we get a chance to soar with the birds. Sari Facini, Jupiter, Florida. 13 things you didn't know about Mother's Day. I recently told my granddaughter how we celebrated Mother's Day and Father's Day when I was little. My parents, my sister, and I would dress up for church wearing roses pinned to our dresses, or in the case of our father, his suit. A red rose symbolized that our mother and father were still alive. A white one meant he or she had died. Mother, my sister, and I always wore red, but Daddy always wore white, his parents having died years before. I have noticed that not many people seem to follow this custom. Perhaps we should revive it. Jean Gouche, Benham Springs, Louisiana. So you're going to the royal wedding? Suggesting conversation starters for chatting up the queen, Arthur Andy sentences asks, when is a piece of wood like a queen? To which our 9-year-old granddaughter, Callie, replied, "When it's made into a queen bed." Smart kid. Dory Vroonham. Your aha moments. How to create an aha moment sparked many of you to share your own. Driving to my third day on a Houston jury, I realized I was looking forward to it and wishing I didn't have to return to work. That's right. That night I decided I would quit my bank job, get a PhD, previously only a passing fancy, and become a professor. And so I did. Margaret Langford, New Brunfeld, Tennessee. Texas, I'm sorry. Whenever I can't think of something, I try for a while, then leave it to my unconscious mind. I'm 89 years old and figure I have a lot of debris in the attic, homeboy brain. So it takes fine to go through all those years of accumulation. Sure enough, maybe a day later, the name will just pop into my head. That keeps me from thinking I'm getting Alzheimer's. Ruth Psyche Meyer, Melbourne, Florida. When his homeless patients can't get out to a physician, he goes out to them. The doctor is out. By Jim Axelrod, from CBS News. And there's a picture of a gentleman standing on the corner of Massachusetts Avenue. He's wearing khaki slacks, a blue shirt, a blue tie, has gray hair and glasses, and he's smiling. Shortly after this photo was taken, a homeless woman nearby tripped and cut her scalp. Dr. O'Connell stepped in with a level of care and compassion that felt so gentle and non-judgmental, said our photographer Chris Churchill. It's a Friday morning in Boston. This means that Dr. Jim O'Connell is making his rounds. He might be more comfortable inside an exam room, but that's not where his patients are. O'Connell is one of a handful of physicians making house calls to the homeless in the city. More than 550,000 Americans are homeless, and many have health problems but no access to care. O'Connell and his team, made up of psychiatrists, internists, a nurse practitioner, a case manager, and a recovery coach, are doing something about it. They spend their days walking around where the homeless live, in parks, under bridges, on the outskirts of town. They treat about 700 regular patients. During those rounds, O'Connell himself usually sees about 20 patients. He knows where most of them sleep and whom to ask if they are missing. "I feel like I'm a country doctor in the middle of the city, you know," he said. O'Connell went to Harvard Medical School and was on a way to a prestigious oncology fellowship when his chief suggested he take what's supposed to be a 1-year position as the founding physician of a new health care program for Boston's homeless. That turned into a 33-year career at Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Program, one of the country's largest of its kind. You realize, I'm just a doctor. And what I can do is I can get to know you and your case and ease your suffering, just as I would an oncologist, O'Connell said. You could not find a more grateful population. And his patients are grateful. "This man is unbelievable," one remarked. "He's like Jesus," another added. O'Connell dispenses just about everything, from stitches for an arm to surgery for the soul. If patients can't be treated on the street, he finds them a treatment bed at the organization's medical respite facility, a place for patients who are too sick to be on the streets, but not ill enough for a hospital stay. Everything I had been taught to do in medical school, go fast, be efficient, was counterproductive when you take care of homeless people, O'Connell told Harvard Magazine. When you see somebody outside, you get them a cup of coffee and sit with them. Sometimes it took 6 months or a year of offering a sandwich or coffee before someone would start to talk to me. But once they engage, they'll come to you any time because they trust you. I often said the best training I had with this job was having been a bartender, because it's all about listening. When asked about how his life might have turned out had he become a highly paid oncologist, O'Connell said, "I never think about it anymore. Some things are more valuable than money. Just ask the man who gets everything from patients who have nothing material to give." Everyday Heroes, Planning Patriotism. And there's a picture here of a young man in a cemetery, bent over, sticking a flag in the ground. Preston Sharp doing what he does every week, adding flags to the graves of veterans. Young boys aren't easily appalled, but 12-year-old Preston Sharp sure knows the feeling. "Yeah, I was surprised," Preston said, and disappointed. Preston's mom, April Sharp, had never seen him like that before. "Not this angry and passionate," she said. What upset her son so much was visiting his grandpa's grave in Redding, California, and realizing not every veteran in the cemetery had a flag. So April told him, "Son, if you're going to complain about something, you have to do something about it or let it go." The next thing April knew, Preston was taking odd jobs and soliciting donations to buy flags and flowers for every veteran in his grandpa's cemetery. And when that cemetery was covered, he moved to another, and then another. Here we are nearly 3 years and an estimated 65,000 graves later, and he does it every week, rain or shine, especially rain. They were out there in the rain doing their job protecting us, Preston says. His devotion is contagious. When word gets out that Preston will be at a cemetery, he has a Facebook page, PrestonSharp/vet flags and flowers, folks can compare to join in. People like Vietnam veteran Fred Loveland. It's amazing, Loveland said. What he's doing brings them out because they can't believe a young man in this country is doing what he does. In a movement of young and old, of those who served and those who are so grateful that they did, all led by a proud grandson who saw an injustice and decided to do something about it. Voices and Views, Department of Wit, Why I've Decided Not to Write My Memoirs. A note about the author, by her granddaughter, network news producer Arlene Hansen. Not long before she died, I sneaked away for a grandma sleepover. A character who was always full of surprises, she motioned me to her beloved writing desk, black with gold, chinoiserie, and a white leather top. "That's yours," she said. "You're a writer like me. You get the purple box inside, too." I opened the box to find stacks of her stories, some sweet, some adventurous, some droll, just like her. This one, An Amazing Look Back, was written when she was in her 70s, shows her fondness for unexpected paths. "Dear children, as you know, for years I planned to write up the memories I've been saving on scraps of paper since you were young. I've kept them and put away in safe places, like memory holding up to funny remarks and actions. Guess to keep the white rat for the summer was one of my favorites. And the one about the frog we planned to train for the frog jump at the Calaveras County Fair, until your father hit it with the lawnmower while he was mowing the backyard. My training as a nurse came in handy when I was called on to splint its leg with a popsicle stick. And the one about the baby alligators who lived in our backyard pond. Do we have an interesting history with animals, don't we? Now that you are grown and off-handing adventurous with your own children, I've enrolled in a memoir writing class. You know what? It's such a struggle. I wake up in the middle of the night with just the right thought in my mind. Grabbing notepaper and pen, I go into the bathroom and write it down. Great. I don't want to lose that, and in the morning it may be gone. But I'm having trouble getting back to sleep these days and find myself nodding off in my chair after dinner. I also tend to pick at a certain area of my head when I'm searching for exactly the right phrasing. It seems to me here on that little thinner now in that one area. I spend a great deal of time staring out the window in contemplation. I've noticed I'm having a wee bit of trouble sometimes getting my eyes in focus again, and once in a while I get a little twitch in the left eye. I also carry around a notebook in my purse to capture the thoughts I'm coming up with during the day when I'm driving around at the grocery store. The notebook takes up so much space in my purse. It's great to have pictures to illustrate the writings. They add so much. But in finding just the right ones, I have to search around through all the boxes and the house in disarray. In fact, I'm becoming a little bit absent-minded. I have to admit, from all this creative concentration, I forgot to turn on the coffee pot the other morning, and yesterday the potatoes burned when I was writing down this great description that came to me out of the blue at dinner time. Your dad is supportive, but it's a mistake to let him read my articles while I'm composing them, I find. Last week he very nicely said, "I don't like the way this sounds. Why don't you say so-and-so?" And I didn't handle it too well. In fact, I said, "Please. I read this in class, and they thought it was good. I'm not changing it." We're encouraged to be original. So instead of writing, I remember, I said something like, "The long dormant brain cells were activated again." And he said, "That's corny. Why don't you say sweet memories?" To which I replied, "We're supposed to be original. Sweet memories, that's so every day." Later, I decided it sounded ridiculous, but the right expression came during the night. Naturally, I jumped up and got and rent the way I wanted. It's all sort of an exquisite torture, as the expression goes. I'm walking around with dark circles underneath puffy eyes. So, my dears, I've decided it's fun to write and relive all the memorable times I've enjoyed in my life and to share the happy days of your growing up years. But I think at my age I need my rest, and frankly, I think your dad misses me watching those great PBS shows and National Geographic specials on TV with him. He says he's lonesome. Enjoy the ones I've written because I've decided not to write any more memoirs. Love, Mom. When Grandma gave me those stacks of handwritten stories in the magic lavender box, many of which I'd never read, on top was a letter addressed to editor of Reader's Digest. Grandma explained that she had written that letter 100 times, but she never sent it, and though many of her stories made it into her local paper, her life's dream remained to be published in the magazine. After she passed away at 94, I made up my life's dream, too, and sent her work to Reader's Digest. You made it, Grandma. Arlene Akins was a proud mother of 2, grandmother of 6, and grandmother of 12, and a lifelong writer. Words of lasting interest. A car accident marred one teenager's face, but it left no scratch on the friendship. The gift of forgiveness. The summer I turned 16, my father gave me his refurbished 69 Chevy Malibu convertible. Cherry red, chrome accents, V8 engine. A gift wasted on me at that age. What did I know about classic cars? The important thing was that Hannah and I could drive around Tucson with the top down. Hannah was my best friend, a year younger but much smaller, taller, almost 5'10". Hannah's a knockout, my mother always said. And sure enough, that summer she signed with a modeling agency. She was already doing catalog and runway work. A month after my birthday, Hannah and I went to the movies. On the way home, we stopped at McDonald's drive-thru, putting the fries on the seat between us to share. Let's ride around a while, I said. It was a clear night, oven warm, and full moon slung low over the desert. Taking a curve on too fast, I hit a patch of dirt and fishtailed. I then plowed through a neighbor's landscape wall and drove into a full-grown palm. The front wheels came just halfway up the tree trunk. French fries on the floor, the dash in my lap, an impossible amount of blood on Hannah's face, flaps of skin hanging into her eyes. They took us in separate ambulances. In the ER, my parents spoke quietly. Blessed plastic surgeon in the city. End of her modeling career. We'd been wearing lap belts, but the car didn't have shoulder harnesses. I'd cracked my cheekbone on the steering wheel. Hannah's forehead had split wide open on the dash. What could I say to her? When her mother, Sharon, came into the hospital room, I started to cry, bracing myself for her anger. She sat beside me and took my hand. I rear-ended my best friend when I was your age, she said. I totaled her car and mine. I'm so sorry, I said. You're both alive, she said. The rest is window dressing. I started to protest, and Sharon stopped me. I forgive you. Hannah will, too. Sharon's forgiveness allowed Hannah and me to get back in the car together that summer, to stay friends throughout high school and college, to be in each other's weddings, and to watch my 4 teenagers fawn over her 3 younger children. I think of her gift of forgiveness every time I'm tempted to resent someone for a perceived wrong. And whenever I see Hannah, the scars are so faded that no one else would notice, but in the sunlight I can still see the faint shimmer just below her hairline. For me, an imprint of grace. Jamie Croccio teaches at Sewanee, the University of the South, and her first novel, Fire Sermon, is available now. And now we have one of my favorite things. Finish this sentence. The one thing I never go on vacation without is a can of smoked oysters from Trader Joe's in case I get hungry on the plane. Bertie Klein, Los Angeles, California. One thing I never go on vacation without is a small Swiss Army knife. I broke the knife blade off so it would pass through airport security, but I've used the other tools on many times. Susan Fledegger, Luxonville, Colorado. The one thing I never go on vacation without is my acrostic puzzles that keep my mind occupied and let me relax at the same time. Liz Bridges, Prescott, Arizona. The one thing I never go on vacation without is my toe tape for dancers. A blister from walking can ruin everything. Pamela Martin, New Orleans, Louisiana. The one thing I never go on vacation without is a container of Clorox wipes. Hotel rooms, especially TV remotes, can be so nasty. Melissa Pressers, Carna, New England. Allo. It's one thing I never go on vacation without. My husband always gets sunburned. Bob and Gaylord, St. Paul, Minnesota. The one thing I never go on vacation without is a corkscrew. There's nothing worse than having a nice bottle of wine on vacation with no way of pulling the cork. Michael Fahey, Huntley, Illinois. One thing I never go on vacation without is my lavender essential oil. It helps me relax and fall asleep when I'm away from home. Marsha Lee, Keenaw, Wisconsin. The one thing I never go away from on vacation without is cash. I keep a $20 bill under the insoles of both my shoes. I could be stranded somewhere without anything, but at least I'd have some money. Kathy Lorentz, Streetsboro, Ohio. The one thing I never go on vacation without is bail money. Mary Venice, New York, New York. And the one thing I never go on vacation without is my Imodium tablets. Better safe than sorry. Denise Oden, Windsor Mill, Maryland. Your true stories in 100 words. God's bubble bath. Pacific Northwest beaches occasionally have unusual quantities of seafoam, which forms because of large algae blooms, storms, and dissolved matter from the marine plant life. On one foamy day, my husband and I left Portland with our two kids, then ages 6 and 4, to go to the beach. As soon as our car crested a dune, we got our first glimpse of the shoreline. "Look, Mommy," our 4-year-old shouted excitedly, "God put bubble bath in the ocean." The friendliest skies. I flew standby on a cross-country flight, piloted by my older brother. Of course, my seat was way in the back of the plane, and I managed to whack every elbow on my slow hike up the aisle. People glared. Soon my brother's voice filled the air. "This is your captain speaking. The last passenger on this flight was my sister. This will be the fastest, smoothest, safest flight ever. So sit back, relax, and don't worry, because if anything happens to my sister, our mother will kill me." People applauded. It was the best flight ever. Lanny Wilkins, Boswell, New Mexico. Table hopper. When my husband and I go out to our favorite restaurant for lunch, he often rejects the first and sometimes the second table we're given. I've never understood why, but after 30 years I'm used to it. Recently he accepted the first booth the hostess offers. Moments later he said, "I don't want to sit here." A waitress moved us to a corner booth 10 feet away. As I opened my mouth to ask why he needed to move, a car crashed through the restaurant, destroying the booth we'd just moved from. "I'll always sit wherever he wants to sit now." Linda Brown, Loganville, Georgia. The case of the mosquito-bitten worker, you be the judge. Is a railroad company responsible for keeping insects away from its employees? Every morning when William Nomi and his crew stepped out on their truck to repair and replace the rail line in Sweeney, Texas, they were swarmed and bitten by mosquitoes. It shouldn't have been a surprise. Sweeney had long ago christened himself the mosquito capital of the world. Still, those working on the job from July to October 2008 amid tall grasses were basically a buffet for the mosquitoes, especially after September 13th when Hurricane Ike blew through and left pools and puddles everywhere. It didn't help that the door on the cab of the tamping machine, where 58-year-old William spent his days leveling the track and packing the crushed stones that lay underneath the tracks, didn't close completely, and there were holes in the floor. He could never escape the bugs. William reported the problems to a superior at Union Pacific Railroad, where he worked for 32 years. But he says the company didn't repair them, mow the grass along the railroad tracks, or provide bug spray. On October 22nd, William's daughter, Sarah Namy, found her father slumped over on the couch at home. He was sweating and mumbling incoherently. He had a fever of 103. Sarah called her mother, who rushed home from work, and together they lifted William off the couch and got him to the emergency room. After many tests, William was diagnosed with West Nile virus, an infectious disease spread by mosquitoes that can develop into a potentially life-threatening neurological infection. As a result, he developed encephalitis and has suffered permanent damage, including cognitive impairment, muscle weakness, and decreased kidney function. He can no longer work. In 2012, William sued Union Pacific under the 1908 Federal Employees Liability Act, which protects railroad workers hurt on the job. He claimed the company was negligent for not providing him a safe work environment. Union Pacific argued that since 2002, the company had held several safety meetings and sent a bulletin to employees about the threat of West Nile virus, which William said he never received and knew nothing about. Plus, it was impossible to tell whether the mosquito that infected William bit him at the worksite in Sweeney or at his home or at a football game or really any place he went outdoors during his time on that job. Was Union Pacific negligent because it didn't protect an employee from mosquitoes? You be the judge. No, it was not. A jury in the District Court of DeWitt County did find that the Union Pacific was negligent and deserved 80% of the blame for William Namy's illness. It ruled that William himself was 20% to blame because he didn't try to mitigate the problem with bug spray or long-sleeve shirts. William was awarded $752,000 in damages, and Texas' 13th Court of Appeals upheld that ruling. But the Supreme Court of Texas overturned those rulings. It cited a common law doctrine called the fere naturae, which states that a landowner is not liable for the acts of wild animals of the owner's property if the owner hasn't attracted the animals on purpose. The court decided that the law applied to business owners as well. There is no evidence that Union Pacific could have done anything to prevent mosquitoes throughout the area from being around its sidings and tracks, explained the Supreme Court on June 24, 2016. Further, Union Pacific did nothing to attract mosquitoes indigenous to all South Texas. Basically, said the railroad's attorney, Bob Burns, the railroad couldn't be found to be negligent for the actions of mosquitoes. And here's some points to ponder. Your life should be full of stories. Sometimes they're funny, and sometimes they're outrageous. Sometimes you can't comprehend them, and sometimes they're painful. But the more you get hit, the more fun it's going to be. Nick Nolte. One of the best feelings is when you know that luck didn't play a role in your success. Doing work eliminates the need for luck. I'm not lucky. I just took the stairs. Lily Sings, YouTube performer. Not much happens when you're in our comfort zone. I hear people say, but I'm concerned about security. My response is that is simple. Security is for cadavers. Bob Parsons, entrepreneur. We scientists have found that doing a kindness produces the single most reliable memory increase in well-being of any exercise we have tested. Martin Seligman, psychologist. There will always be folks hard-selling you the life of the few, the private schools, private planes, private islands. They are trying to convince you that hell is other people. Don't believe it. We are more frequently each other's shelter and correction. Zadie Smith, writer. Life in these United States. There's a checklist here. The first is rise, second is coffee, and third is shine. As my two sons were climbing into the back seat of our car, Eric, 5, yelled, I call the left side. That didn't sit well with Ron, 4. No, I want the left side. I want the left side. No, I want the left side. Intervening, I said, since Eric is older, he can have the left side. Thanks, Dad, said Eric. Which side is left? John Weston, Montclair, New Jersey. My husband and I were daydreaming about what we would do if we won the lottery. I started, I'd hire a cook so that I could just say, hey, make me a sandwich. Thomas shook his head. Not me. I already have one of those. Julie Phelan, Cincinnati, Ohio. I was admiring my aunt's necklace when she prized me by announcing, I'm leaving it to you in my will. I was overjoyed, perhaps too much. Oh, I shouted, I'm looking forward to that. Mona Nandam, North Chicago, Illinois. You know how some TV news stations will caption a story to better explain it? These news captions could use their own captions. Wife stabs husband with squirrel. Will high gas prices cost your kids their education? Inmate overdoses on underwear. Man killed to death. I asked my 91-year-old father, Dad, what were your good old days? His thoughtful replied, when I wasn't good and I wasn't old. The first thing I did when I heard our great-granddaughter was born was to text my son, you are a great uncle. He texted back immediately, thank you. What did I do? Overheard. My 15-year-old niece fighting with her friend. You think I can't live without you? Who do you think you are, my phone charger? I asked a friend in Seattle what the difference was between a state like Washington and one like Florida. He shrugged. Apples and oranges. That's pretty good. Survey says, name actual responses to prompts on Family Feud that are so ludicrous they no doubt started real family feuds. Answer these. Name a type of foreign money. Monopoly. Name something a duck and a chicken have in common. They both quack. Name a place where it's smart to know where the exits are. Church. If someone tells you a secret, how many people do you tell? 5. Name a piece where you might see another a place where you might see another person take off their clothes. The mall. Name a farm animal that the farmer may grow so fond of he might not want to eat it. A dog. Name something you eat too much of. Food. And with that, we're switching over to Consumer Reports again. Great gear on the go. This is continuing our road trip theme. The sound and sights of the open road are best enjoyed free of screens and digital distractions. But when it's time to snap a photo or enjoy some music, you'll want gear that's lightweight and affordable. Poolside. Fujifilm FinePix XP120, $145. Waterproof, shock-resistant, and affordable, this camera is everything for you or your kids need in a knock-around shooter for the pool or beach. In the thick of it, Canon PowerShot SX720, $280. With this camera and its 40x zoom for recording life or a baseball game up close, you're getting strong imaging and quality for the money. In the back seat, Amazon Fire HD8 2017, $80. You can buy four of these recommended tablets for you and three passengers for the price of a single lower-end iPad, and you'll still have money for games and movies. For a picnic, Bose SoundLink Color 2, $130. The Bluetooth speaker brings music to a roadside picnic in a small, lightweight, and affordable package. At the hotel, a Phaeton BT100NC for $90. Nose-canceling headphones can help keep the peace in the car or hotel room. This model is compact and costs one-third as much as certain competitors. On the trail, Skosh Sportflet 3, $20. Benefit ear clips coupled with very good sound quality make these inexpensive headphones a logical choice for an early morning run before you hit the road. The Road Tripper's Guide to Roadside Assistance. Having your car break down when you're on a road trip hundreds of miles from your trusted mechanic or familiar dealership can be a real headache. That's when having a roadside assistant plan is essential. If you don't already have one, lots of plans are available from auto clubs, car insurance, and others, with prices starting around $60 per year, depending on how much protection you want. They usually cover you in the U.S. and Canada. If you already have a plan, check to see whether one was given to you, perhaps as part of your car warranty. You should review it to be sure it has the coverage you need when traveling. When considering a plan, be sure you know the fine print exceptions. For example, if your idea of vacation fund is to do a lot of off-roading, you may find that you're not covered unless you're on public roads. Here are six questions to consider. What is the trip interruption benefit? An important feature for long-distance travel, the trip interruption benefit applies if you have a breakdown or an accident that stops you in your tracks, or in some cases if your car is stolen. Depending on the plan, it reimburses you for unforeseen expenses such as a hotel room, meals, and alternative transportation. Whether it's a car rental or a flight home, the trip interruption benefit included with the Volvo Roadside Assistance Plan, for example, reimburses you for up to $500 in expenses you incur during the first 3 days after a vehicle disablement, but only if you're more than 150 miles from home. AAA's plan kicks in at 100 miles. Reimbursement amounts vary by plan, but we're seeing them as high as $1,500. Is there a towing distance limit? If you live in a densely populated area, a basic plan that tows you 5 miles or so is probably adequate. But if you intend to venture into the wilderness, you might consider a premium plan that allows you more miles before you incur extra per mile charges. For instance, AAA's basic classic membership plan, available for one AAA official for $66 for the first year, provides up to 4 5-mile tows during the membership period. A $101 plus plan increases the towing distance to 100 miles. The Premier plan at $127 allows for 1 200-mile tow and 3 100-mile tows. Car manufacturer plans usually will haul your vehicle only to a nearby authorized dealer or approved repair facility. What if I'm driving a rental car? If you're renting a car, find out whether your plan applies. If coverage comes with your car warranty, it's probably in effect only if you're driving that vehicle. Some car rental companies provide extra cost roadside assistance for non-mechanical problems. The rental company will cover mechanical problems automatically. That could include running out of gas and locking the keys in the vehicle. What if my RV breaks down? Covering your recreation vehicle often requires a special plan such as the AA Plus RV or the AAA Premier RV. Good Sam specializes in RV coverage. You're also likely to need extra coverage if you're towing a trailer or doing your Easy Rider imitation and riding the vacation trail on a motorcycle. And a special note for cyclists, the Better World Club will even cover your bicycle. What if service isn't available? Find out whether a plan will reimburse you if you have to seek out service help independently. This may be necessary if no in-work service provider is available where you happen to be, or if local laws limit which company can provide emergency service on the road you're on. The Better World Club reimburses $50 or $100 depending on the plan. Are there other benefits? Some roadside service plans offer extras. Among them are free map services and directions, rental car and hotel discounts, and even bail bond and legal service reimbursements in case a driving incident lands you in the county jail. Your travel first aid kit. Start with a pre-packed kit, such as those sold by the Red Cross for $20, at redcloths.org/store. These give you a variety of bandages, gauze, tape, and more for treating wounds, cuts, and burns. We recommend adding your health and hospital insurance cards. Enough of your RX medications to last you the length of your trip and a few days more just in case. And antihistamines such as diethylmihydrine, Benadryl, allergy and generic, or loratadine, Claritin and generic, for an unwanted allergic attack. A pain reliever such as acetaminophen, Tylenol and generic, ibuprofen, Advil and generic, or naproxen, Aleve and generic. Anti-diarrheal remedies such as loperamide, Imodium and generic, and bismuth subacetate, kale pectate, Pepto-Bismol and generic, and antacids. Insect repellent and tweezers for tick removal. Sunscreen, aloe, gel, hydrocortisone cream, or calamine lotion to prevent sunburn or soothe bites. Antiseptic wipes, hand sanitizers, and on antibiotic ointments such as Neosporin for infected wounds. Lubricating eye drops. A thermometer. Protecting your pets. If pets are coming along for the ride, give them the special attention they need, says Lori Burbrier, DVM, a veterinarian and medical director for the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Community Medical Medicine Department. Boy, that's a mouthful. Pets should be kept in a harness or well-ventilated crate to prevent injury to themselves or to passengers in a crash. Don't let dogs stick their heads out of open windows so they don't get hit by rocks or debris. Make time for walks and feeding to maintain their routine. Breyer recommends packing a block of ice in a bowl for cold water. Never leave a pet in a parked car, even with the windows down, because rising temperatures in a car can be deadly. Call in advance to see whether hotels are pet-friendly. Take a blanket from home to make the room feel familiar. In case of emergency, have the contact information and location of a veterinary clinic or an emergency clinic near your destination. Bear in mind that older animals might not adapt well to the stress of a change in their environment and routines. Consider an at-home pet sitter you trust. Don't let the bed bugs bite. If your plans involve a hotel stay, make sure you don't check out with an infestation. Stow your luggage in the shower stall or tub and unlikely hang out for bed bugs. Strip the bed and scan the mattress, the top and underside, and box spring seams for bugs, which are flat and oval-shaped with reddish-brown bodies, roughly the size of an apple seed. Watch for adults, nymphs, and eggs, as well as exoskeletons, casings that the bugs leave behind when they molt, and rust-colored crushed bugs or dark feces spots. If you see an infestation and you can't move to an entirely different hotel, ask for a new room as far away as possible because the bugs are likely to be in adjoining rooms as well. If it all appears to be clear, move your suitcases to a luggage rack or hard surface closet shelf. If you pick up bed bugs on your travel clothes or luggage, expose them to temperatures at or below 0 degree Fahrenheit or above 113 degrees Fahrenheit. If you have a large chest freezer, store your entire suitcase there for 4 days before taking it into the house. Or you can tumble your clothes in a hot dryer for 30 minutes and steam clean your luggage. Store your empty luggage in the garage or basement. If you get sick while on the road, it's awful to become ill or get injured on vacation. It's even worse if you get hit with a big medical bill when you get home. If you have a medical crisis that requires a trip to the emergency room while traveling in the U.S., your plan should cover you regardless of occasion, says Sean Mallet, a senior director at A-Health, an online site for buying health insurance. But if you have a more minor problem, how the bill is covered can depend on where you seek care and the type of insurance you have, says Catherine Donaldson, director of communications at America's Health Insurance Plans, a trade association for insurance companies. Your insurer may treat it as an out-of-network claim, and you could be on the hook for a larger portion of the cost of the whole bill. To protect yourself, form a surprise medical bill. Put this task on your pre-trip to-do list. Make sure you have an up-to-date insurance card in your wallet. Put your health care provider's contact info in your phone in case you need a referral. Also, take a list of your medications and dosages. If your current stock of RX drugs won't last your trip, ask your insurer for a vacation override so that you can get an early refill. If you run out while you're away, call your doctor. Most insurers contract with the national retail drugstore chains. Number 3, ask your insurer ahead of time how it defines an emergency and what will be covered if you need treatment away from the home. Request a list or see whether your insurance can has a mobile app that you can find ERs, urgent care centers, pharmacies, and doctors covered along the way. 4. If you have a chronic condition, contact your physician before you travel and ask for a referral to doctors who could treat you of your destination. 5. Take advantage of telemedicine. Most insurers offer telehealth services, which allow you to do a video consultation with a doctor via your smartphone, computer, or tablet. Telemedicine usually costs less than seeing a doctor in person, and some teledocs can prescribe short-term medication. RX for a healthy driver. Long car trips can literally be a pain. Remain physically comfortable with these tips. Stay alert. Drowsy driving can be fatal. Don't push yourself to drive late into the night when you're usually asleep. Switch drivers if you start to fade. If you're the only driver, get a hotel room. Pull over every 2 to 3 hours. Sitting too long is hard on the lower back due to that constant flex position, says Lynn Miller, Ph.D., chair of the Department of Physical Therapy at Winston-Salem State University in North Carolina. It may compress the disc between your vertebrae, potentially leading to pain, numbness, or tingling in the legs. Your necks and hips could get tight, too. Getting out of the car and walking around a bit can help. Stretch your back. On your driving brakes, stand tall and circle your shoulders back 5 times. Then reach over him and arch back slightly. Hold for 5 seconds, then lower arms and repeat once or twice. Uncramp your legs. Try this calf and hip flexor stretch. Stand with feet staggered in a lunge. Left knee bent at front and right leg straight behind so that your heel touches the ground. With hands on hips, or holding on to something for balance, clench the right side of your gluteal muscles. Hold for 30 seconds, then switch legs and repeat. Relax your shoulders. Keeping your chin parallel to the ground, slowly draw your head back as far as you can. You might feel a stretch along your upper spine and shoulders. Repeat 6 times. Flex your feet. Trips longer than 4 hours increase your risk of deep vein thrombosis, a clot that forms usually in the lower leg or thigh, says Mary Cushman, M.D., a spokesperson for the American Heart Association. Stopping to walk around helps. Passengers in the car should do ankle rolls and alternate flexing and pointing their feet one at a time every half hour or so. Smart snacks to pack. Picking your own food can be a much healthier option than stopping at most rest stop grab-and-goes. To keep your energy up and your appetite satisfied, pack your snacks in a combination of carbs, grains and vegetables, and fruit, and protein. For your cooler, water. Staying hydrated helps keep you awake and alert, plus it boosts mood and helps prevent headaches. Belgiosi Fresh Mozzarella Snacking Cheese, a lower-fat, lower-calorie cheese that's a good protein partner for fruits and veggies. Peeled hard-boiled eggs, just 70 calories each and a good source of protein. Sliced grilled chicken or London broil. Cook and slice these ahead of time to use for sandwiches. We recommended whole wheat wraps. These meats are lower in sodium than deli meats. Single-serve cups of hummus or guacamole. Use as a condiment on sandwiches or as a dip for veggies and crackers. Fruits and veggies, apples and bananas, blueberries, grapes, broccoli, florets, carrots, cucumber slices, cherry tomatoes, and sugar snap peas are easy to handle in a car. Siggy's Mixed Berries Whole Mix Icelandic-style yogurt, creamy, slightly, and packed with protein. No cooler needed. Angie's Boom Chick Pop Sea Salt Popcorn. Nabisco Triscuit Reduced Fat Crackers. Pure Organic Wild Blueberry Bars. Epic Bar Turkey Almond Cranberry. Crave Bar Cranberry Thyme Turkey. These two bars are relatively low in sodium and are made with raw antibiotic turkey. Almond Mixed Nuts. 1 ounce a serving. The protein and fat in nuts keep you full. How to find the cheapest gas. Where you choose to gas up can have a big impact on your long-distance trip's bottom line. When we checked in April, gas price tracking website GasBuddy found a gap of 92 cents per gallon between two Chicago gas stations just a few blocks apart. That's an $18 difference if you're filling a 20-gallon tank. Similarly, because state gasoline tax differently, filling up on the wrong side of a border can be an expensive mistake. So how do you know where the best price stations are, especially if you're in unfamiliar territory? Download one or more of the widely available gas apps, such as Fuel Finder, Gas Buddy, and Gas Guru, to your smartphone. They're available Android and iOS devices. Many are free. The Android version of Fuel Finder costs $1.99. You can filter results by fuel grade and sort by distance and price, as well as get GPS guided directions to the station you choose. Gas Buddy and Fuel Finder also let you check stations for amenities such as ATMs, restaurants, and car washes. Gas Buddy has stations to review, which might tell you, for instance, which restrooms to avoid. And Gas Guru lets you save your favorite stations so you can remember where to stop on your way back. The Google Maps and Waze apps, which many people use for real-time traffic alerts and driving directions, also offer gas price info. Credit cards that go the distance. Along your journey, you'll probably be spending money on restaurant meals, hotel stays, and gas. Rather than just using just one rewards credit card, you can maximize your cash back by using different cards that offer the best rewards in dedicated spending areas. Finding that just right card combo can be complicated, however, given fees, waivers, rebate rules, and bonuses. So we did the work for you using our proprietary Credit Card Advisor comparison tool. It calculated the cost and benefits of 53 cashback credit cards to point to the ones that will most generously reward your unique mix of spending activity. You just have to remember to use the right card in the right situation. Put a little note in your wallet to remind yourself which card to use for gas, dining, and hotels. For all of the purchases, you can use a card that offers a higher-than-average flat cashback reward. We recommend the Citi Double Cash Card. Top tip for gas, Citi Thank You Premier. Unlimited 3% cash back on gas. Top tip for travel, Citi Thank You Premier. Unlimited 3% cash back on travel. Top tip for dining, Capital One Saver, TD Cash Visa. Unlimited 3% cash back on dining. Top tip for all else, Citi Double Cash. Unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases. Consider renting for the road trip. You fully load up kids and cargo only once or twice a year. Think about renting a big SUV rather than owning one year round. Compare a family sedan, 2018 Honda Accord EX, with a three-row SUV, 2018 Chevrolet Traverse 3LT, both with the features that today's shoppers desire. Price: the Traverse costs $15,800 more than the Accord, and assuming a $5,000 down payment, a 2.9% rate, and a 5-year loan, you'll pay more than $1,000 in additional interest, and your monthly payments would be $295 more for the Traverse. Annual gas cost. The Traverse gets 20 miles per gallon overall. The Accord gets 31 miles per gallon. Assuming you drive 12,000 miles a year and gas costs $2.75 per gallon, you'd spend $1,650 on gas for the SUV versus $1,065 for the sedan. CR's take. In the end, the few hundred extra dollars will cost to rent a Traverse for your road trip will easily be covered by the thousands you would spend otherwise, and renting would keep all those miles and wear and tear off your everyday vehicle. What memories are made of? Are your favorite videos and photos trapped in old technology such as 8mm film and VHS tapes, or even shoeboxes? Our primer shows you how to convert them to today's easy-to-use formats. We all know the moments that are enshrined in our hearts. Our wedding vows, a child's first steps, high school graduation, a family vacation to Italy. These priceless life narratives have been captured in pictures and on film for generations. But today, many of us have molding stockpiles tapped in old technology, and we wonder how we will ever enjoy them again. Here we explain how to salvage and preserve your memories for years and even decades to come, whether you want to do the work yourself or hire a service. Vintage film rolls. Although Kodak released 16mm Kodachrome film in 1935, then 8mm, a.k.a. regular 8, film a year later, home movies didn't really take off until the 60s when Kodak released Super 8. If you have old reels of film in the attic packed in iconic yellow Kodak boxes, they're probably regular 8 or Super 8 film. Regular 8 film is about as wide as a pencil on a small reel about 3 inches in diameter, says Howard Besser, professor of cinema studies at New York University, founding director of the NYU Moving Image Archiving and Preservation Program. Super 8 film will be a similar size. Each 3-inch reel contains about 50 feet of film, good for only a few minutes of action. If the film strip is roughly 2 pencils wide, and on a reel that looks like the kind you might see in a documentary about the golden age of Hollywood, it's probably a 16mm. Once you identify the kind of film you have, You can turn it into digital format, but it's going to take some time and money. The good news is, film is a pretty sturdy medium, says Ashley Blower, an archivist, developer, and moving image specialist. So old home movies on 8mm, 16mm, or Super 8 reels are likely to be in decent shape. Do it yourself. There are two DIY methods. First, you can buy a film-to-video converter, which looks like a compact version of an old reel-to-reel projector. These machines can be expensive. The Wolverine Datafilm 2 Digital Movie Maker Pro, for example, costs about $400, although you might find others for closer to $100. As the film runs, the new files are recorded to a small SDH memory card, just like the ones you find inside digital cameras. This is an analog progress. If you have 5 hours of film, the conversion will take 5 hours. There is another way, but it's a bit of a project, says Elias, a Consumer Reports leader for auto video testing. You need a real film reel projector, a digital video camera, and a clean white wall or projector screen. In a dark room, set the projector and video camera up next to each other. Project the film evenly onto the wall or screen. Then adjust the viewfinder in your digital camera so that the image being projected fills the whole view. Then press play on the projector and record on the camera to capture your footage. The problem with this method is that you need to work with a very clean white sheet or wall, says Arrows, and even with pristine projection surfaces, you could end up with lower contrast than the original, color shifts, or a softer image. The file quantity of your recording will also be limited by your video camera's capability. Hire a service. Although film services aren't cheap, most people will find using one preferable to the do-yourself methods described above. In addition to local film specialists, major retailers such as Costco and Walgreens have conversion services for 16mm, 8mm, and Super 8 film formats. You need to take your media to a store. Expect to pay a base price plus a fee for additional feet, which can add up quickly. For example, a single 5-inch reel of Super 8 or 8mm, which contains about 12 to 14 minutes of action on 200 feet of film, will cost about $27 at Costco. Time is also a factor. The process takes roughly 3 weeks. After work, you'll get back your original materials, two DVDs of comment. Walgreens charges an extra fee for these, and online access to the digital files. Shoeboxes of photos. If you or a family member was a prolific photographer back in the day, you may have a number, okay, scores of photo albums or shoeboxes full of those prints stuffed into closets. Sadly, these start to feel like unwieldy clutter and can't be easily shared with relatives, copied, or organized the way digital photos can. Do it yourself. All you need is a scanner, a feature built into many home printers these days. In the market for a new printer, we recommend the Epson Workforce Pro WF4630, $280, which produces excellent quality scans. If your family photographer also took time to add names, dates, or notes on the back of photos, considering purchasing a two-sided scanning printer. Bear in mind that it does take time and patience to scan one photo at a time. Hire a service. Costco, Walgreens, and local photo shops have services for converter photo prints, and in some cases negatives to digital. Costco, for example, charges $20 for the first 62 images and 32 cents per image after that. The cost includes two DVDs and online access to digital files. Additional DVDs cost $7. Video cassette tapes. In 1983, Sony released its consumer camcorder called a Betamax, which used a small Betamax cassette tape and gave consumers instant access to recordings. No processing fees required. As tape formats proliferated through the 80s and 90s, consumers had myriad affordable video formats to choose from, including VHS tapes, smaller, higher-quality HI8 tapes, and digital video DVD tapes for handheld camcorders. The rest of home video history. Tape is considered at-risk media because it's vulnerable to deterioration, and the technology you can view it on is starting to disappear. So converting your old tapes to a digital format is a more pressing task than converting old film, Blower says. Luckily, there are still a few options for transferring your old home videotape to digital. Do it yourself. This may be one of the easiest conversions to do-it-yourself if you have the time and right equipment. If you have a DV camcorder, your tapes are probably already digital files, but you need a FireWire cable and a computer with a FireWire port to transfer them from camcorder to your computer. If you have analog tapes such as Betamax, HIH, VHS, you need a VCR that plays the type of tapes you have. If you don't have a VCR, sites such as Craigslist, eBay, and FreeCycle to find a low-cost one. You'll also need to acquire an analog video capturing dongle, starting around $13 online, which has a USB connector on one end and audio and video imports on the other. Check the manufacturer's specifications to make sure the dongle is compatible with your computer. Some, such as the Elgato Video Capture, also come with recording and editing software. Before you start converting, check your tape player to see whether it needs to be cleaned. Connect it to your TV and insert a professionally recorded video, such as an old Disney movie, to see whether a picture appears snowy. If it does, clean it using a kit, around $10. Online, YouTube how-to videos can help as well. It's a good idea to clean your old tapes, too. Simply dust any exposed tape and manually twirl the spokes to loosen them up before you play a tape. Next, connect your computer to the tape player via the dongle, which will prompt you to install the video recording software. The program will walk you through the process. When you're ready, hit record the program and play on your tape player. Just as with the film, this is an analog process. An hour of video will take an hour to transfer. Hire a service. This can be the more costly option, to be sure, but you're paying for convenience. Costco and Walgreens offer transfer service for a number of video formats, including VHS, VHS-C, and the long-departed Betamax. At Costco, you'll pay $20 for up to 2 hours of VHS content. At Walgreens, it costs $35 for one tape to DVD conversion. Blu-rays are more expensive. You can start your order online and take your tapes to a local store. The process takes about 3 weeks, and you get your original tape back as well as the files on DVD. Digital files are included at Costco, but Walgreens charges extra for them. Since the Lumiere brothers showed what is to believe to be the first motion picture in 1895, film technology has evolved rapidly, and it's likely the immediate formats of the day, advanced as they seem now, will become the digital dust collections of tomorrow. Make any future conversions easier by saving your files in well-labeled, easy-to-find places on your computer now and backing up to an external hard drive or a cloud storage service. Or do both. Use a physical external hard drive in case of data loss on the cloud, and save to the cloud in case your hard drive gets lost or damaged. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. We'd like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the reading service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. It's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.